Today, on this last Sunday before Lent, our first reading from Scripture is suffused with the light of God. The light that was like a devouring fire when Moses encountered God on Mount Sinai. In the Gospel, we hear about the light that radiated from the face of Jesus, transfigured on the mountain, his divine glory briefly visible. Throughout the Bible, we hear of God's glory, God's light, the unseen and invisible radiance of majesty and beauty and goodness of God, of God's light which was before the world began, the light of which a storm's flash of lightning or the brilliance of the full sun are only faint created reflections. But yet it may be that many eyes are so accustomed to the dark in the world and their lives that they cannot see God's light for what it is, at least not at first. And the darkness around us can be very dark. So many of us can hardly bear how dark so much of our nation has become. Can we even so be lit up by the light of God? Is there hope? Let us start with Moses, the great figure of the law of God, which was why he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and Elijah. Moses had been to the top of Mount Sinai and caught sight of the appearance of God's glory as he received the law. As the passage goes on, beyond the lesson we heard this morning, as Moses brought the law back to God's people, his face shone with God's reflected glory, a sign of God's holiness and glory revealed in the law Moses carried. Responding to that divine law, Jews have always been invited into fellowship with God, who is the source of all the light shining through the law. They were invited to become children of the light of God. That is why when Moses came down from the mountain after meeting God and receiving the law, his face shone. In receiving the law, he encountered God's own light. He was lit up with it, and he shone. Yet when Israel first encountered that divine holiness, purity, majesty, reflected in Moses' face, they had to put a veil over it. God's light was like a devouring fire. They could not look on God's face and live, not even through Moses. They had been involved with too much darkness. Yes, and they are not alone. We too may be used to the dark. Our spiritual senses may be adapted to it. The light that God shines on our lives and in the world will show what's really there. It will reveal much good, but also the darkness. It shows up some things that we might prefer not to see in the world, our nation, ourselves. Ourselves. Even as the light shines on the path we ought to take, we may become aware of that path not always taken, even by us. Light is often rejected, night preferred. That is why Ash Wednesday is coming. But there is a second mountain in today's lessons, not Mount Sinai, but another mountain where God's glory is revealed, now fully in a human face. The story of the Mount of Transfiguration. Throughout Epiphany, we have been seeing God's light shining in Jesus. He lived out and taught and enacted the true meaning of God's law, its deepest heart. He taught the true law of love. The first commandment is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like unto the first: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That divine light was what Jesus shone on us in the Beatitudes. That is the light he lived out when he preached the good news to the poor and healed the sick. Jesus called God's people not to treat God's law like a rule book they could manipulate, but as a light that shone even in the dark places, a light that focused God's glory for the good of our souls and our world, not least by shining a bright light on all that was wrong, so that it could be made right. Jesus called for a transformation of the heart, so that we could be children of the light and not of darkness. Jesus revealed God's glory, but now a glory of love. He taught it, and he lived it. The light he shone was illuminating, not blinding or burning, though very bright in the face of great darkness. That is the light that shines forth in the face of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was the light of God's own being, of God's own holiness, of God's goodness and purity revealed in Jesus, revealed to anyone who longs for God, who hungers and thirsts for justice and love, anyone who would turn to walk in God's way of love. Here in Jesus, shining directly from a human face. Yet, and this is important, the light on the Mount of Transfiguration invited us not only to see God's glory in Jesus, but to empower us to follow him down from the mountain, to follow him along the road down into the darkness of Mount Calvary, the mount not of transfiguration, but of crucifixion. For in the end, the law alone could not accomplish the opening of the eyes, the change of heart, the transformation of the world, the great reconciliation that was required for us to see God's light fully and eternally. The darkness in the world and in human hearts was and is too great. Sadly, having enough light in the law of God to see what God wants us to do doesn't make us consistently able to do it. Being able to see the path does not repair the damage caused by our wandering elsewhere in the dark or following false lights. It took another kind of action, another kind of revelation, now on Mount Calvary. That is where the light of transfiguration, the light of God's law incarnate in Jesus, would meet the greatest darkness there is, the darkness that wanted then and wants now to shut out the light of God's love forever. We are right at the edge of Lent this morning. We are invited to walk, perhaps with blinking and watering eyes, but to walk into this brilliant light, the light of the glory of the wisdom of God made human in Jesus Christ. And in that light, to walk with him toward the darkness of Mount Calvary, and through it to the eternal light of the resurrection. And it is in the resurrection, through the crucifixion, that hope is born. At first, following the light may not seem like doing very much. Perhaps following Jesus' light will only mean obeying conscience in a deeper or better instructed way. Perhaps it will mean joining a protest against the great darkness in our nation. Perhaps it will lead us to places that serve the poor and vulnerable. Perhaps it may be as simple as trying to love a difficult neighbor whose politics oppose ours, to love as God loves him or her. But if we do, God's light will confront whatever darkness is within us and the world around us and light us up. And by the share in Jesus' death and resurrection that the Holy Spirit has to give us, we can learn that God's glory is God's love for us, God's holiness to forgive us, God's purity to cleanse us, God's faithfulness to know that God in Jesus is coming again to set things right finally, to blow away the darkness in our world, in our country, in our hearts, to bring life-giving light. And so forgiven and free, with eyes wide open, we may on the eternal Easter that awaits us see Jesus' light and be lit up forever, and even now shine with his light in the life of this world that God loves so much. Amen.